In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Popular opinion holds that deceased loved ones who have been good become angels. I suppose this serves as a good reason of why we do not get our theology from movies, TV, or even culture. They know nothing of spiritual things. The number of angels does not increase or decrease, and yet there is a very set number. Sometime during the 6 days of creation, our Lord created them. Angels are not eternal. He saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And so those angels are perfect and excellent in their various ranks and orders, for God is a God of order. And not every angel is equal in power, authority, or position. Scripture lists angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, powers, dominions, and authority. There probably are more. Angels are also spirits, which means they don't have a physical body, so they don't take up physical space. Angels also are all male. There are no female angels, but they are all male because they are servants of God sent to give and to take care of those whom God has called. Finally, angels can only be in one place at one particular time. They are not God where they can be everywhere, but a particular angel can only be in one place at one time. At one time, the devil was among these holy angels. He was created good and holy and perfect, for God is not the author of sin, and neither does he approve of evil or create evil. But then Satan rebelled against God, and he lost his position of authority. A great war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels, but the devil was not strong enough, because Michael fought with the word of God. Satan fought with lies and deception. Michael preached the truth of man's place in creation, the truth of the angel's place, the truth that God rules over all things. The devil twisted and distorted the word of God to grab more for himself. Sometime after the sixth day of creation and before man fell, Michael overcame. And Satan was cast to this earth. Creation was not ruined by the fall of angels. All was still perfect and good, but now man was thrust to the very front lines of battle. Where Michael overcame by the word of God, Adam rejected that word of God. And by the sin of man, all creation is brought into ruin. And yet God promised that the seed of the woman, the seed of a virgin, would come to crush the serpent's head. He would destroy the devil. He would destroy all the demons. He would save his fallen creatures. Michael's name means who is like God. Who is like our God, incarnate and born in Bethlehem. Who is like our God who thrusts the spear of his holy cross into Satan's skull to crush him. In a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Who is like our God who bleeds and suffers and anguishes, who dies and yet rises on the third day, triumphant and glorious? No one is like our God. No one else can save us. No one can crush the serpent's head other than our Lord Jesus Christ. No one else fights in the most backwards of ways by dying, and yet gains an eternal victory. Barred from heaven by man's sin, heaven is now open to sinners by the blood of God. Calvary ended the war. See the place where they laid him. He is not there. Christ is risen. But the devil has not given up. Baptism thrusts you into the front lines of battle. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the prince of this world. You can see the immorality of the world. You can often feel the sinful flesh tugging at you towards sinful things, but you cannot see that devil. And yet you are called to fight against him. If God were to open your eyes, as he did the eyes of Elisha's servant, to see how many spears and arrows and daggers the devil has pointed at you, you would flee to Christ for safety. For the devil's kingdom is not in hell. In hell, the devil suffers. The devil's kingdom is this world. He is the ruler or the prince of this world, as St. Paul calls him. He doesn't want to leave, but he wants to expand his control. And you are in the crosshairs. This battle rages all around you. These demons are watching, waiting for any opportunity to strike. They are fearsome warriors armed to the teeth. Their weapon is still in their mouth because they still distort the word of God. They speak lies. At times they couple these lies with physical persecution, at other times not. But either way, they hate that God has chosen you as his own. They hate that God has died to save you. They hate that you belong to God. And so it is their singular purpose and sole goal in life for you to reject the word of God so that you share their miserable fate. So how can you overcome? Again, it's backwards, by becoming little children. Unless you become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, Christ says. No one sends little children to the front lines of battle. And yet that is what you are to imitate. For a child's faith is the epitome of faith. An infant's faith is the norm. Adult faith is really the exception. So unless you become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Think of how dependent and vulnerable children are. They recognize they can't take care of themselves, so they cry, and they expect mom to come and to change them, to feed them, to hold them, to rock them to sleep, or to give them whatever else they need. That is humility. And that is the humility our Lord encourages of us. To trust solely in him for our every need. We think we can take care of ourselves, but we can't. We're simply deceiving ourselves if we think we can. We can't cause a seed to grow. The Lord does. And if he did not daily provide food for us, who of us would survive? How much more do we need his help and assistance as we fight this spiritual battle against the devil, an enemy we cannot see? But fight you must. The Lord has crushed him by his cross, but now the Lord calls you to put on the very armor of God, to wield the sword of the Spirit, that is, the word of God, and to take your stand against the prince of this world. Do not fear, though. For your Father is with you. He doesn't delegate and then simply ignore you, but he protects you through his angels. They belong to him. They always see the face of your Father. The angels themselves cannot be in every place at once, but your Father can, and he is. And certainly the Father's care is more than enough for us. But as if that were not enough, the Lord also enlists his holy angels. He assigns to each one of you a particular angel to go wherever you go. These great warriors never leave you. They rejoice to follow you. They rejoice to follow your kids to school, on the road, or around the home. They are with them when they eat and sleep, when they work, when they play with friends, engage in sports, watch TV, or do homework. The angels are there with them, even as they are with you constantly. You cannot comprehend all the angels do for you. They physically protect you, yes. Many dangers have been averted by their care. But chiefly, they fight that ancient dragon and cast him out of your life. They keep the demons from entering your heart. So to cause one of these little ones who believe in Christ to sin, to cause either someone young in faith, someone young in age, or someone with childlike faith to sin against God is to fight against the holy angels and against God himself. Above all, these angels rejoice that Jesus saves sinners. And so they preach. They preached to Zechariah. They preached to Mary. They preached to the shepherds in Bethlehem. And they preached to the women at the empty tomb. As you rejoice that Christ has died to win your salvation, so these angels rejoice that Christ has died to win your salvation. It causes them no pain or grief to see Christ bleeding on the cross, for they know this is how God has saved you. When God rejoices, they rejoice, for their will is one with God. So they love it when you meditate on the Word of God, when you speak about the death and resurrection of Christ and all that it means for you. These angels rejoice to watch you pray. They exult in your baptism, and they are glad when you come here to eat and drink your Lord's body and blood for your salvation. They've been called to serve and defend you day and night, and their weapon is not sword or spear, but their weapons is the Word of God. They do not grow tired or weary, for they will not rest until they bear you in their arms to Abraham's side. So do not fear. Though you stand on the very front lines of battle against a very formidable foe, who is like God? No one. No one else can save you. No one else can defend you. No one else can protect you and bring you into his heaven. And at times, the Lord has called his angels to do just that for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.